This is JLPT Bootcamp, the ultimate guide to passing the JLPT in less time with less pain. Hello, everyone. This is the JLPT Bootcamp podcast. I'm your host, Mac. This is episode 68. And I'm just chilling here in very cold Japan. It's a little bit below zero now, which doesn't sound like much. I know I have a few listeners in some places that are a lot colder than that, but for Japan, that's pretty cold. So makes for a very chilling walk home from the station. I've been continuing to do a little bit of research and trying to find good exchange partners online, people to talk to and chat with, just to practice my conversation skills. And it's been kind of hit or miss so far. I don't really have too much to report other than I got the ball rolling. So I'll have to keep you posted on that and let you know a little bit about that once I find out some more information. And I think a big challenge that I'm kind of facing is just being able to meet with someone regularly and try to find a regular schedule to meet up and chat online with. I mean, at least in the city, people have really busy schedules. With the economy here in Japan, it's a little bit different. You know, everyone's working their tail off to make sure they're not going to, their company survives, so to speak. And so there's sometimes when there's just kind of infrequent schedules and crazy overtime. And especially during this season, if you don't know, this is coming up is going to be the end of the fiscal year in Japan, which is the end of March. And at that time, people are just crazy busy. There's a lot of people that can't come to class, and it's really hard to kind of hunt people down that are the regular 9-to-5 businessmen here in Japan. So, hopefully I'll have a little bit better luck towards the end of March when things get a little less crazy. But I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted on that situation. Other than that, I'm just doing some reading again, Mr. Itoi's book, which is difficult, but a good read, and it's getting easier and easier, a little bit easier and a little bit easier over time. Not completely easy. I don't want to say easy, but it is getting easier. The more I get into it, and the more reading I do, the more I get to kind of start to recognize some of the vocabulary that he uses on a regular basis. Some of the logical connectors and things in Japanese that he uses on a regular basis that kind of helps me to read the book a little bit faster. So though it's good practice, it's good reading practice. So today I just want to talk about context. Context is key when you're studying a language. And you can kind of see this if you're here in Japan. Every foreigner has varying degrees of Japanese. Some people obviously have none. Other people are very fluent. They studied it all through college. They keep studying it now. They're translators, so to speak. And you meet all sorts of different people. And you'll be amazed that you'll meet someone that can tell jokes in Japanese and joke around, maybe, of course, order food and drinks without any problems at the at the izakaya and be able to ask, you know, do special orders, you know, hold the mayo and do all that stuff without any issues at all. You know, flirt with girls, flirt with guys, and really be able to talk quite fluently in those situations. But when it comes to the test, you know, they might just pass N4. They might just pass N5, maybe even, because you know they haven't, they just don't have that those skills. And of course, you'll meet the exact opposite when you're here in Japan, where there's someone that can read a lot, and has good reading comprehension, has good listening, has good understanding of TV shows, but really struggles to ask basic questions at the electronics store when they go shopping, which sounds like me, actually, a couple of years ago. So you get these kind of imbalanced people, and it's hard. It's, you know, I always wonder, I think when you first start studying a language, you always just assume that, you know, whatever, whenever you memorize a word or you learn a word, as long as you learn all these words, you'll be able to handle all these situations when they come up. But that's not really true. It's how language learning works in young children is that they will learn in context. So it all depends on what kind of situations or contexts they have experienced, and then that's usually what kind of your language skills sprout out from. So if you're used to going to the bar and chatting it up with random people at the bar, then of course you're going to get a lot better at that, a lot and very well skilled. But that's not really going to translate into a good reading ability or even to be able to, you know, use business Japanese. It may increase your confidence with the language, of course, and you might be able to learn some survival techniques to kind of, you know, nose your way through some situation and strong arm it through just to get it over with. But and those are useful skills, don't get me wrong, but you won't be able to handle the situation very well. And this is true even if you know all the vocabulary, you study all the textbooks for a given level. If you don't even have a little bit of experience with the situation, it's going to be difficult. And, you know, because we learn languages mostly from contexts. And when we are in a particular situation, you know, certain parts of your brain lights up and connects that info to that situation. And you might be wondering, if you're outside of Japan, well, that's all fine and dandy, but how do I get into those situations without actually being in Japan? And it is, it gets increasingly difficult the higher up you go to kind of the N2 or the N1 level, because it becomes more difficult to find those kind of more intellectual situations outside of Japan. Most of the N2 listening exercises, for example, are about pretty much business English, giving tasks, one person talking about, oh, you need to do this, and then you need to do that, and then you need to do this over here. There are some conversations, of course, between, for example, a husband and a wife deciding what movie to go see or what bus to take home. Those types of things that are kind of daily conversation, but it's really hard if you're outside of Japan to get exposure to those daily conversations, because you're just not going to overhear them on the bus or the train or, you know, just walking down the street like anybody that's living here is going to have. So you really need to, and even if you are in Japan, you really need to start varying your exposure, is something that I've kind of learned the hard way. And so, at least from my perspective, I think it's a really good idea to not just use one textbook, but use two different textbooks to get kind of two different angles on one particular grammar point. What I usually do for example, for grammar points, I usually have some kind of drill book, which is the Kanzen Master or Soma Tome, that I've written about and done some reviews about on the blog. But then I also have a kind of a backup reference book that I go to from time to time to get more ideas, more references. I also check out some online sites like Jonathan Waller's site to look up some of the grammar points, key grammar points, and or even the Jim Breen's website, which you can look up some examples at to get kind of a better idea about the grammar point before I move on and I put it to rest, so to speak, in my head. And that's just for grammar. And I think it's important to kind of look at grammar from a couple different angles and study it kind of isolated, but in a very limited way. Don't try to study it so much, so academically, that you go nuts studying it. The other thing I back it up with is doing lots and lots of reading from a variety of different sources, whether it be novels, fiction, basically, or nonfiction, self-help books, I haven't read any manga, actually, but I try to kind of spread it out between a couple different things, some kind of intellectual, modern philosophy type things, which is what Mr. Ito's book is, all the way to, movie novelizations is what I guess they're called. Basically, just a book that was written after the movie came out. So it's not like a masterpiece by any means. It's just basically someone wrote down in a book what happened in the movie. It's a very simple piece of literature to read. So all of that kind of helps give you a context and gives you an idea of how different words are used in different situations and different grammar points. Same with listening. It's important to listen to a couple of different kinds of shows and a couple of different kinds of material. So, for example, of course, I watch J-dramas on TV. You can get J-dramas on the net. I'm not going to exactly tell you how to do that, but you can find those pretty readily on the net. But also J-dramas and also things like soft news. And what I mean by soft news is basically pieces where they go and they interview someone on the street, or they kind of go over some fun new facts or something. That's kind of soft news, not hard news where it was like this person was murdered today and blah blah blah, this is a suspect, da 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 da. Because a lot of that language is I've heard it's useful for N1, but I know it's definitely not useful for N2, the hard news language. But soft news, conversational type stuff, J-dramas, some of that will help you with your listening for the N2 and below. So I guess that's the main point I want to go over today, is just kind of try to vary your exposure to a couple different things and not rely on one particular source for your language learning, so to speak. So I'd like to know about you. How do you get your exposure to the language? How do you vary that exposure? And what are some ways you do that? So let me know. This is episode 68. Please cruise on by the website at jlptbootcamp.com and leave me a little comment there at the bottom. And Or you can come by the website, jlptbootcamp.com, and click on the Contact Me button. Send me a little message about maybe what you'd like to hear about on the website or on the podcast, or what you'd like to know about. Or you can email me the old-fashioned way. That email address is mac@jlptbootcamp.com. I hope to hear from you some way with comments, emails, whatnot. Until then, keep on studying. To claim your free 21-page ebook on the 5 biggest mistakes people make on the JLPT, as well as more tips and tricks to help you pass the Japanese language proficiency test, come visit me at jlptbootcamp.com.